5, 6, 7, 8.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Happy Thursday.
Hola.
This is Callie, Ashley, and David from...
What's from the stage?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep, that's us.
That is us.
Woot,
surprise!
we're bringing you the glitz and glam of music.
No, don't hurt yourself with
musicals
that.
This evening from the 1990s, right here on KNNA LP 95.7 FM in Lincoln, Nebraska. How's everybody doing?
Pretty awesome.
That's good. Ashley's looking a little flustered over there.
Yep. Yeah. So we had the next show's lineup because we were reading it. Had both of them. I got confused which tonight is movies. Next week is Broadway. And I was looking at Broadway.
So I was throwing you off a little bit.
I had a quick moment of, uh-oh.
Yeah.
But we're good now. We're
glad to hear it. Glad to hear it.
Well, I hope I'm right. I am right, in fact. I'm looking at my information.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh. I am. Yeah. I've got it.
I don't know too many of the songs on our lineup.
You know what, David? That's okay.
Yeah.
It just better be.
I was pretty familiar with like the last two decades that we did. I was kind of surprised.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah. I think good. I did pretty good. I knew all the movies for the movies. Mm-hmm. The Broadway one, it's like a half and half. I kind of know half of them.
I think there were only a couple tonight that we picked that I haven't heard, or at least I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Some of these, it's like going back to my childhood.
Like a little sneak peek right now is that, spoiler alert. Anyways, Robin Hood, Men in Tights. I've never seen it.
No, such a great movie.
Yeah,
I've never seen that.
Mm-mm.
It is a classic in my household. I know.
It's like your dad's like
favorite movie, or at least probably top 10 favorite movies.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he can actually quote all of the lines from it.
Oh, boy.
Pretty sure.
Mm-hmm. No, we're just merry.
Yeah, I know. It's such a good thing. Anyway, I'm now looking for it for the digital versions of it for him.
Heck yeah.
Because all we have is VHS.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, let's get things started off tonight. Well, actually, before we do that, why don't we tell them, Ashley, you want to introduce what we're doing?
Oh, yeah.
What we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, so we're doing decades. And we're counting down. We started with the more current, well, not more current, it is the current era. And we are now down to the 90s.
All right.
Woohoo!
Yep.
And we usually, in the show, we try to start from the late 90s. So, like, we'll be starting tonight at 98, and we'll work all the way down to 1990.
Cool. Sounds good. We'll start us off tonight. We'll play something I think Wheeler and Carl will really enjoy.
Yes.
It's from Blues Brothers 2000.
We're gonna call our very own. That's all rock, and that's all roll. That's all got a whole lot of soul. Feel all right. Mini skirts, maxi skirts, and afro hairdos. People do their own thing. They don't care about me or you. That's all got funky. That's all got soul. And we're got a doggone beat now. We're gonna take care of business too.
Hello, who's your jouer, s'il vous plaît? Got a lot of soul, soul.
Funky Nassau from from Blues Brothers 2000.
You're welcome, Carl and Wheeler.
Yeah, played for those two. You know, that was just not one of my favorites or well-liked movies. No. I do like the original.
Yes.
But I'm just not. To each their own.
Well, you wouldn't be alone. I did a little research on it, on actually all the movies. But it was ranked number 4. So Entertainment Weekly, the top 25 worst sequels ever as of 2008. It was ranked number 4.
I'm not as really the worst. Surprised.
Wow.
Yeah. I should have looked to see what was number 1. I forgot to do that.
Oh, you should have, yeah.
I was just, when I was doing research specifically for this film, that's what came up.
I don't think it did as well because John Belushi wasn't in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not the same.
Yeah. It.
Well, and you know that Dan Aykroyd and John Goodman, they actually did the entire film free.
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Just to try to help keep the budget down. They didn't even break even for the budget.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. You know, Dan Aykroyd even had to lose like 90 pounds. 90 pounds.
That's a lot of weight to lose for a free show.
That's what I'm saying.
They really, really were hoping that it would do good, and no.
Yeah. I know both Dan Aykroyd and John Landis both said that they absolutely hated this script.
Then why do it?
Right?
Oh, for free, no less.
And they felt the movie was even going to be a huge failure, which it was.
Yeah.
I don't know why they ended up doing it. I mean, like, wasn't it?
I think maybe it's because they wanted to surpass their former goal or their former record of 103 car wrecks. Or 103 car wrecks in the movie, and they wanted to make it to 104. So they wrecked 104 cars in Blues Brothers 2000.
Wow.
And then they wrecked 103 of them in the original.
Dang.
Well, but the record was, what'd you say?
103?
Yeah, well, what was, do you remember the
104.
Record? The record of all time, how many cars?
It's like 114, something like
that.
I
think it was around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they were, for the filming of G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, when they wrecked 114 cars.
Oh, golly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That movie.
Oh, golly, gee
whiz.
Oh,
like,
golly, gee whiz.
I'm surprised, like, Dukes
movie.
Of Hazzard wasn't higher up in there somehow. I don't know why. I just assumed something like that or those
that
kinds of movies
been.
Would mm-hmm. be higher just because they feature around a car.
Mm.
That G.I. Joe movie was one long explosion, though. It doesn't surprise me that they have the record for wrecked cars.
True.
Have the record for wrecked everything.
But that was as of around 2009-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that doesn't count anything past that. And you know, as the years have progressed, we keep liking more big booms. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, how about we go to, well, I guess we're going to stay in 1998 for one that we've never played. This next one up. We've never played any songs from it.
Oh, well, let's do it.
Yep.
Thank you. salt of my sweat on my brow. And Elohim, God of mine, can you hear your people cry? Help us now, this dark hour. Deliver us, hear our call, deliver us. Lord of all, remember us, still in this burning sand. Deliver us, there's a land you promised us. Deliver us to the promised land.
Yel di ato vera al tira vera tivra. My son, I have nothing I can give but this chance that you may live. I pray we'll meet again. Be still, love, don't cry. Sleep as you're rocked by the stream. Sleep and remember my last lullaby. So I'll be with you when you dream. Someday, come and deliver.
Egypt.
I absolutely
oh my goodness
love that film, and I love the soundtrack for it. Mm-hmm. I own the whole soundtrack because I just like to, you know, just be blaring Prince of Egypt in my car because that's cool.
Nothing wrong with that or whatever. That people, was a song. Go ahead. No, wait. What
people are going to pull up next to me at a stoplight, and I'm just going to be singing "Deliver Us,"
which was the song that we just heard.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time.
So off air, Ashley, you were telling me a little bit about Ofer Hazah, who, you know, voiced one of the characters in this song. So, I can't... Yocheved?
Sure. I cannot pronounce the character name that she played. Yeah. Because I am terrible with names. She actually learned her role in 17 of the 19 different languages that the film was put in. So she actually did all of those 17 when they redubbed them.
That is amazing. Wow. That is talent.
Now,
right
she didn't
there.
Speak those languages. She just learned
them
the words phonetically. Yeah. So
that's still
17.
Amazing.
That's super rock star level. I mean,
yeah.
No kidding.
No, definitely.
I think she was one of the only ones that actually did that many films. Like, did the same, you know, it was her, not somebody else or another speaker.
Another person dubbing it.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I hope she got paid more for that.
Right? Probably not. No, anyway. So they actually... They try to make this film as true to story, as possible. They even conferred with 600 different religious scholars on it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
They had them read over the script. The script took forever because of that.
Hmm.
Even afterwards, after the film, they had a special screening with those scholars, and they said it was pretty good. There's only about four things that they switched around, and they only had to switch them just to make it fit the movie better,
more cinematic.
Yeah, something to have a little more pizzazz. But yeah, they actually did, I guess, pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I mean, Callie can read my notes there, but one of the things Moses was adapted by the Pharaoh, adopted. I'll get there. It's been a day.
Yeah.
Adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and not his wife.
Yes.
So there was, like, so there's a few different things.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I mean, I know obviously they had to make it, you know, they had to turn things around and make it a little bit different. But at least the storyline is still, the whole premise is still the same as what you would read in, you know, the Bible or other, you know, religious. Oh my goodness gracious.
See? Yeah, it's a day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, so the whole part of the scene where they're partying the Red Sea.
Yeah.
The whole 4-minute section. It's not even that long. It took 2 years to animate
that.
Yep.
Wow.
Seriously?
2 years.
How long was
this
film in development?
That's just how long they were just drawing it and doing all of the drawing and the animation and all that. I'm like, how would you like to go in every day and literally work on the same wave? Day after day, or at least this month is wave one.
Yeah.
The week, or this next month, is going to be wave two. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's crazy. I would not like that. I don't have the patience for that. I need constant, like, turnaround.
But that's why they get paid a lot of money.
Maybe, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know,
or at least
man.
Let's hope they do.
So we looked, one of the weird things, so the voice of God, right? They wanted it to not be, because the voice of God, they're trying not to make it so... man or woman or old or young.
Yeah.
So they actually had all of the actors whisper God's lines, and they ended up saying that wasn't powerful enough. So Val Kilmer ended up just doing it. But you can still hear the actors in kind of like the background, kind of like the echo of it.
Oh, yes. They overlaid it?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So, FYI.
That's pretty neat. I think it's a good...
But the voice of
it's
God.
Good idea.
Is Val Kilmer.
Is Val Kilmer. With all of the other actors as the whisper behind it.
I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm.
This is like one of those 90s animated musical movies that it's like I can't it's a can't believe it's not Disney movie.
Yes.
No, it's like can't believe it's not Butter, only it's can't believe it's not Disney.
It really was. Well, I think it was pitched to them and then they just turned it down because No, I don't know why they did. Because
they're Disney.
Because they're Disney.
And DreamWorks bought it from them?
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
But it wouldn't be surprising. In the 90s was like the sweet spot for Disney. I mean, the amount of Disney films that came out in the 90s is astronomical.
Really?
It was so hard to pick. There had to be at least probably 10, 15 animated films that came out from Disney alone. That's not including the Broadway section.
Wow.
Yeah, they banked in the 90s.
Good for them.
Yep.
Good for them.
So anyway, let's take, I guess, the next one will be the 1994. Another childhood classic for myself. How about you?
Oh, yeah.
Loved
I watched this over and over again.
Odette from The Swan Princess.
I can't believe I'm stuck with her all summer. Oh, but she doesn't wrestle, hunt, or box. Evil's conceited when it's on old. If I get lucky, I'll get chickenpox. So happy you could come, so happy to be here. How I'd like to run. This is not my idea of fun. The children seem to get along quite nicely.
We'll join our lands if this arrangement clicks.
My dear King William, that's my point, precisely.
It's such good parenting.
And politics, so happy we agree.
I think we've got a deal.
Derek's quite a catch.
This is my idea.
This is my idea of a match. It's such fun.
Her hand again. I swear I'm gonna be sick.
One day Prince Derek will be her intended.
Oh, splendid!
We tried all summer, but we just can't lose her.
Hey, fellas, wait up!
Quick, put on some speed.
When picking teams, I never choose her.
You'd think she'd take a hint and learn to read.
This really isn't fair.
We really couldn't care.
Boys, it's all or none. This is not my
this
idea.
This isn't my idea of fun.
Long before they met, Derek and Odette were destined to be wedded.
Guards. I think you really sort of like her. That's up.
I'd like her better if she'd lose at cards. 4 sevens and a 10.
I think I've won again.
Every time she's won.
This is my idea.
This isn't my idea.
Luck their marriage may result in lower taxes.
What if Odette doesn't go for the merger?
Urge her.
For as long as I remember, we've been told we'd someday wed. until September, all their pushing and annoying hints.
I've got bruises with their fingerprints.
I can do much better, I am sure.
He's so immature. I see him smiling and my knees start buckling. I see inside him and my doubts are gone.
She started out as such an ugly duckling and somehow suddenly became a swan.
So happy to be here.
Till now I never knew it is you I've been dreaming of. This is my idea.
This is my idea.
What a good idea. Such a charming and romantic notion.
This is my idea.
This is my idea.
Princess.
Was that good?
It brings back so many memories.
Yes, it does. Anyway, that was This Is My Idea. Or I guess in the beginning of the song, it was This Is Not My Idea. They changed it because then they fell in love within the whole song.
Yep.
Anyway. So the guy, John Cleese, he ended up playing...
From Monty Python.
I know
but
him.
He played,
I know him well.
Jean-Bob.
Jean the Bab.
He actually had an opportunity to play Zazu from Lion King.
Oh, that would have been cool.
But they were conflicting of the time frame that they came out. Or that they were in production. Jeez.
So he had to choose which film
he had
to
choose. He chose the wrong one.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the Swan Princess did okay. But not nearly as good.
No, I mean, look at it. The Lion King has been turned into Broadway musical. I mean, like, it's...
Lion King is... Yeah, it's a cultural event.
Yeah.
Yes.
Swan Princess was just a fun movie.
Exactly.
It was on repeat at my household. I'm sorry, not repeat, because you had to sit there and hold the rewind button.
Yep.
And it went into hyper-rewind, and then you had to wait for that, because it was rude to just watch a film on VHS and then just
not back it up at the
not
end.
Back it up and restart it. Yeah.
Yep.
Dude, that's why we got one of those fancy, like,
rewinders.
Rewind machines.
Yes, so did we.
You stick the VHS in, and then just automatically,
Yeah, we had one of those, too.
Yeah. I tried doing that with my DVD the other day and it just doesn't work the same. I just don't know how to rewind my DVD. I'm having issues.
Yeah. The struggle that the children will never understand that we went through.
Oh yeah.
To have to like sit there and wait for it to rewind.
We had to be patient. We had to wait. Now it's all about the instant gratification of being able to push the
Or we had to go to Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And if they didn't have it, oh well.
Yep. Now you can just go click on your iTunes or something like that and push buy or rent and it's bam, it's right there, right in your face.
Things that these kids will never understand.
It's just too easy now. It's not valuable anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I don't know have you guys had been to Epcot in Disney?
Yes.
Mickey's Golf Ball?
Yes.
The big giant...
I haven't been to any
of
It's
probably
this,
the
no,
lamest
sorry.
One out of all of the parks in Florida. I'm just going to throw
Epcot?
That.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
Out of all of them, that's probably the lamest one.
Yeah, yeah. But inside Mickey's Golf Ball is a ride about going into the future and stuff like that. And they talk about from beginning of time to, the future or whatever and things like that.
I think when I went, it was the safety dummy one.
Oh, the safety. Oh, then they must have been. Yeah. crash test dummies or whatever.
Yeah, the crash test dummies.
Yeah. But anyway, so at the end, they show a girl video chatting with her grandma, and this is like the big future and things like that. And it's like, wow, I just turn on my phone and there we go, bam, we're FaceTiming, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the future anymore.
No.
And so I think they had to make changes to that writer. Yeah, maybe just took it
now
out.
It's
going to
be some sort of like Beam Me Up Scotty kind of thing. Like, it's going to be, or the Wonka Vision. It's going to be something on one of those.
Yeah.
That's going to be the next level.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's our future.
Mm-hmm.
And Cards That Hover, which we already have that started.
Yeah. So, Ashley, you were saying that up next, we're going to be playing a movie tonight that is one of your dad's absolute favorites, or is your dad's absolute favorite.
At least top 10. I'm not exactly sure because, you know, there are things like Godzilla and Mothra up there.
Mothra.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, Mothra.
Yeah. There's other things, you know, Alien versus Predator. I mean, my dad has got like a wide variety of films he likes, because then this next one up is also one of his absolute favorite. I think anything, honestly, though, with Mel Brooks is probably going to be up there. I mean, Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He just is so into. Anyway, so next up, I'm going to dedicate to my father.
Good.
Because I can, and I'm going to do what I want.
I do what I want.
That's right. From 1993, Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
We're men in tights. We roam around the forest looking for fights. We're men in tights. We run from the rich and give to the poor, that's right. We may look like sissies, but watch what you say or else we'll put out your lights. We're men in tights. Always on guard, defending the people's rights. We're men, manly men, we're men in tights.
Yes!
We roam around the forest looking for fights. We're men in tights. We run from the rich and give to the poor, that's right. We may look like don't get us wrong or else we'll put out your lights. We're men in tights.
Tights!
Tights! Always on guard defending the people's rights. When you're in the fix, just call for the men in tights. We're bunch!
We want to thank you all for joining us right here on KNNA LP 95.7 FM right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And you're listening to Notes from the Stage.
So that was Men in Tights.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Well, that was the song.
Oh, the song Men in Tights. I'm sorry.
From Robin Hood, Men in Tights, sung by the Merry Men Singers. Boy, wasn't that, you know, kind of redundant. But anyway.
Rip-roaring.
Yeah.
Rip-roaring good time, I say.
I mean, ever since I was a little girl, well, wasn't that little, but when it came out, little. It's always been like one of those random like lines that my dad would say, like, Men in Tights.
Yeah.
It's just...
I listened to that today, and I started laughing. Oh, so hard.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is his favorite. And then the toll road, instead of the toe, is the toe road. And they throw toes at each other. Anyway, that's a hilarious film if you haven't seen
totally
it.
I was totally LOLing today. LOLing.
Oh, yeah, you think you're young and hip.
Yeah, I'm really not.
She's not. Shoot.
How dare you, Robin of Locksley? I'll pay for this. I mean, you'll pay for this.
Oh, there's so many lines from that. Anyway, so let's, I guess, go to our next favorite segment.
Disney!
Woo-hoo!
Okay, now I'm going to put a disclaimer out there. Okay, so we are playing, Roger and Hammerstein's version of Cinderella. Okay?
We're getting technical.
But it is an ABC production.
Which is owned by Disney, but it came out because they're opening a resort at the time that this came out.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So technically,
so after we
I have two ways of connecting it to Disney.
Yes.
Still counts.
Yes. No, exactly. No, it works. I totally am fine with it. So after our introduction, you will hear Cinderella in my own little corner.
Smile.
loud and as meek as a mouse. When I hear a command, I obey. But I know of a spot in my house where
that was in my sorry about that, in my own little corner, sung by Brandy.
Yeah
from Roger one. And Hammerstein Cinderella, produced by Whitney Houston.
Yes.
So who played the fairy godmother?
Yeah,
in there,
she was supposed to be Cinderella, wasn't she?
Yes,
also producing and starring.
Yep But she felt that Brandy would make a better Cinderella.
It's because she was too old. let's be real, she's like, Cinderella's supposed to be this young cute little chick.
Yeah. Which then, though, Brandy said that she wasn't going to do it unless Whitney played the fairy godmother.
Amen. Smart move on her part.
Yep,
because
exactly.
Those two together, I mean.
It was really good.
So good.
I wonder where Brandy is now these days. She isn't putting anything out or anything
like
that.
Well, she was just on the Todrick Hall new CD on Forbidden. She sings that lullaby. I think it's kind of called Lullaby because it's original like that.
Right.
Remember?
We went to the
in their hole, and the babies and the
okay,
that was Brandy.
Oh my goodness gracious, that's pretty cool. Okay,
so that's what she's doing.
Woohoo!
Still singing.
So one more thing that I really quick, I want to share this is really kind of funny. The prince's name.
Oh right,
yeah,
I found
Prince Christopher's full name.
Yeah, I found it and I was shocked. That's
this is
a lot of
not
names.
A short name.
No, everybody, hang on to your hats here because it's. It's a doozy, right? Do you like that?
I did very much
okay,
so.
Okay, hit me with it.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is Christopher Rupert Windermere Vladimir Carl Alexander Francois Reginald Lancelot Herman Gregory James. That is his full name.
Goodness gracious.
Just which think I think that was like a legit name, right? Like yeah. How, if you are mad at him as a parent.
Doesn't Whoopi say it like that in the movie at one point?
I can't even remember. I'll have to now go back and look. But how could you even be mad and yell? By about the third name, I would like wind down. Like you'd be blown out of steam.
I'd just be like, I'm done.
You, kid, that'd be a mouthful. Here.
Yep. Even if you turned it into an acronym, just said the initials.
We should. There should be some sweet acronym.
Still
for
be
it.
A mouthful.
Yeah, that is a name.
Woo. All right, let's make our next trek to our second Disney song of the evening. Let's make it be a surprise.
Okay.
See if anybody can guess
that's
it.
It's from 1997.
Woohoo!
Once Upon a December.
Wasn't from that cute? Anastasia. That's actually probably, I think that's probably the most well-known song from Anastasia is Once Upon a December.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I think just because there's a lot of people who have covered it also.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty,
I would agree with that.
Well, and now that it's come out on Broadway recently in the last few years, I don't remember the exact
year,
but it's come out, and so now it's starting to get some
critically acclaimed.
Critic acclaim. I'll get there. Critical.
It's okay. We all have. I had that moment earlier.
Yeah, well, this is already like my third today.
That's okay.
And we're only here for an hour.
It's so. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they try to make this film kind of close as, I guess the best close they can get to real life. I think there's a lot
story.
Unknown
yeah.
about Anastasia's life. They obviously, when she was in the palace, they know. But once she, her and her family were forced out, there mm-hmm. was a lot of unknowns.
Yes.
So they put you like real life touches. So there's certain things you'll see like portraits up on the walls, and those were real life portraits that were really hung in those specific places in their palace.
I think that's really
wow.
cool.
Wow.
Yeah, the dog that you see
it's
in the
amazing.
Film
mm-hmm.
is the same mm-hmm. dog that she really did have. The outfit that you last see her in is the same one that you saw. I think I don't know if it's the day that she was supposedly executed. But they have pictures of her in it towards just the last few days of her life that she was in these that white cute gown. I don't really know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's very period piece type clothing. Anyway. Yeah. So they really tried, but obviously it was an animated film and there was a lot that was unknown.
Yeah. And one thing I didn't realize was that Meg Ryan did the voice for Anastasia.
Yeah. So originally when they tried to get her to do it, she actually had said no.
Yes.
And she was all about, you know, not going to happen. They took some of her speaking from Sleepless in Seattle and they dubbed it into some of the animated part of the film.
Yep.
And then they sent her the link for it and she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so into it. And so they did that. But she was in her 30s when she voiced for a girl that was, I think, like 14 or 15.
Yeah. Wow.
So, but yeah, she was able to. She didn't sing. Pretty cool. She just did the speaking voice.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Which, who did the singing voice then? That was Liz Calloway.
Yes.
Sang Once Upon a December.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Well, up next, I'm going to dedicate this one to my brother and my sister because they loved this movie. Now, my brother, I think his favorite was Brave Little Toaster.
Yeah.
So maybe this was more my sister.
Yes, because I hear your mom talk about
how much
poor
she dislikes that
video
movie.
Had to be. That keep redoing the tape over and over and over again.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So 1991 was...
Rock-a-doodle.
Edmund's mom was right, of course, but she didn't know why. She also never knew just what stopped the rain that night. But that just goes to show you, with a little help from your friends, you can do just about anything.
Welcome home, Chanticleer. Thanks for bringing back the sun.
Cock-a-doodle-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Hey,
Edmund! Ooh-wee! Cock-a-doo, what a day. The sun is shining brightly. Cock-a-doo, sunny day. Down here on the farm. Cock-a-doo, stay away. You big old little rain cloud, or I'll cry loud with this voice of mine. Sun do shine.
Sun do shine. Sun do shine, sun do shine, sun do shine, sun do shine,
sun do shine,
sun do shine.
Well, my daddy taught me how to sing, and that's why this voice means everything. Sun do shine, you better shine,
you better shine.
Well, the sun do shine, you better shine,
you better shine,
you better shine,
you better shine,
you better shine,
you better shine,
you better shine,
you better shine.
You better shine. Sun do shine,
sun do shine, sun do shine, sun do shine.
Rock-a-doo, what a day, sung by Glenn Clamp. Glenn Campbell from the 1991 film Rock-a-doodle. And that was actually, like I said, one of my sister's favorite movies. Anyways, mm-hmm. Glenn Campbell, he played Chanticleer. Yeah. The rooster.
Chanticleer.
He would sing and the sun would come up every day. And then one day, the evil owl, sent one of his henchmen to knock Chanticleer. I have to say it like that. I just have to. he went to go, you know, beat up Chanticleer and stuff. And then the sun came up without him. And everybody was like, oh, he's a fraud and all this stuff. So he goes to the city. And he becomes a big singer and calls himself the king. And he sounds a lot like... I mean, Glenn Campbell sounds a lot like Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, then this film, they actually blended animation and real life.
So is there a version of live action back in the day?
Yes. So the little kid in the movie, he turns into a kitty and he has to go try to save Chanticleer bring Chanticleer back.
I saw part of this movie... a long time ago.
Yes.
Once. I forget how old I was. I think I was like 6. And it creeped me out. the owl. The evil owl.
He was really evil.
He was.
Yeah. The Duke.
I guess yeah, there was...
he was horrible.
When I was doing some reading, I guess this film originally was a lot darker than what we saw on film.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I could probably see... I mean...
Yeah.
It was already dark as it is.
There was things like eating some of the animals, frying them up. I mean, it was like 0 to 60. It was night and day different. I mean, it was just way different. Yeah. Goodness gracious. They had to cut a lot out to make it okay for kids to watch. Wow. Especially little kids, because that's more of this. That's where this falls in.
Yeah. I remember it being creepy how the kid, the boy, got turned into a cat. Yes. I remember being freaked out by that. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
He turned him into a cat.
Yeah, the Duke comes into his room and turns him into a cat, which he then, it was kind of like a Wizard of Oz kind of thing at the end. He wakes up and his mom's like, oh, that's just a story. Because they read this story before did he get like hit on the head with something?
Yeah. It's been a minute since I've seen it, but I think so.
It resembled The Wizard of Oz a lot.
There was a lot. Okay. If you look throughout the entire film, I guess, so not only did they take from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Rabbit?
That came out in 88.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like similarities between like the female, what was she?
She was a pheasant.
Pheasant. And not only then the type of film that it was, but then was even, Goldie. There was a lot of overlap. So like Elvis was the
Chanticleer.
Yeah, Chanticleer. And then even the shady manager guy was based on Elvis's actual real life manager and the shadiness and everything. Like there was a lot of overlap with pop culture.
It's kinda cool.
In that time frame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So random. Well, did you say the part about Goldie the pheasant? She was based off of Jessica Rabbit. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So it's kinda cool.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
So I don't know. You know, guys, unfortunately, it's getting to be wrapped up towards the end of our evening.
Yeah, it's getting close.
Mm-hmm.
Getting close.
It is.
Sad day.
It is.
Are we going to have time to play one more? Can we just squeeze it in there?
I think we can.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it's one of our favorite ones.
Yeah. Everybody enjoy this song from 1990. It's from the film Crybaby. That was Teardrops Are Falling from the 1990 film Crybaby. And Crybaby was not, or he was, it was played by Johnny Depp.
Yes.
Fun cult classic, as I would call it anyways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really like it.
I know
it.
It's not everybody's going to, not be everybody's cup of tea.
Exactly.
I loved it.
Yeah. But it was not sung by Johnny Depp at all. James Inwell did the voice or the singing dubbed the singing or whatever.
Even Allison, the character Allison, even had her voice dubbed.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
So, everybody, we hope you enjoyed our 1990s movie musicals.
Yes. Up next, next week will be the Broadways that came out in the 90s.
Whoop, whoop.
I know. Pretty excited.
Brace yourselves. It's going to be an amazing show.
It will. All right. See you guys next week.
Oh, don't forget to join us here every Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m. No, that is not correct.
That's not right. 5 to 6 is when we're here, dear.
Please don't anybody ever listen to the fact that I just said that. We are here every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on KNNA LP 95.7 FM right here in Lincoln, Nebraska.
There's a sad sort of clanging from the clock in the hall and the bells in the steeple too. And up in the nursery an absurd little bird is popping up to say cuckoo.
Cuckoo. Cuckoo.
Regretfully cuckoo. They tell us, but firmly cuckoo. They compel us to say goodbye
cuckoo.
To you.
Adieu, to you and you and you.
So long, farewell, au revoir, I'll be the same.
I'd like to stay and taste my first champagne.
So long, farewell, I'll be the same, goodbye.
And heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm glad to go. I cannot tell a lie.
I flit, I float, I flit, leafy, I fly.
Must I?